All right. Well, hey, good morning. Good morning. How's everybody doing? Hopefully pretty good. Like Mark said, it's awesome. This is perfect weather for a picnic, right? This is great. I don't know about you guys. I thrive in this weather. This is like perfect. If it's like, I'm kind of like sea coral, where like I'm optimal between like 60 and 70 degrees. Like if anything below or above that, you know, like it gets a little, I'm either too cold or I'm too sweaty. So this is like, and you're probably thankful for that too now, right? This weather, because you're like, I don't want to see that, man. Hey, so like Mark says, we are kind of going through this series called The Prayers of Paul, and we're kind of looking at different prayers that Paul prayed, how he prayed for others, how he prayed for himself, how he worshiped God in his prayers. And so we're going to spend some time looking. Last week we talked about how Paul prayed for others, and we want to look at a little bit more this week on how Paul prayed for himself. Just out of curiosity, how many of you have ever been on an airplane before? How many of you enjoy being on airplanes? Just out of curiosity. Okay, far less hands on that one. So I'm weird in this regard. I kind of like airplanes. I think they're kind of fun. They're like expensive roller coasters is kind of how I think about them. And so I enjoy it whenever I get a chance to go on an airplane, especially like taking off, you know, when you get that feeling like your stomach drops out, right? Some of you are like, that's the worst part, man. Like, I love that part. I enjoy that. And there was one time that I didn't really enjoy it that much. About 4 years ago, my wife and my mom, we went out to visit some family in Ohio, and we went out kind of around April, May, kind of late spring. And I don't know if you've ever been out to Ohio or the Midwest. The thing that around that time of year, it's usually kind of stormy, right? You can get some thunderstorms, you can get some pretty crazy weather at times. And I thought we had lucked out. We're like, oh man, we found the week. We got over there. It was beautiful. And then on the way back, it started looking a little sketchier. And I remember we're boarding the plane, and the flight attendant's doing their usual, kind of like, okay, the safety check. And I'm like half in and out. I'm kind of paying attention, but I'm kind of scrolling my phone one last time, right? If you're like, that's dumb, you're right. That wasn't really smart, but I was kind of scrolling through, not paying attention. And then afterwards, the captain gets on, and usually he's like, hey, really excited for this flight. It's going to be a great one. And he's like, all right, guys, hey, welcome to this flight. Here's the deal, right? And he's like, this is going to be a bumpy ride. And I'm like, I should have paid more attention to the flight. They're like, oh, that was a bad idea. And he's like, so here's, like, literally his words were, all right, guys, buckle in. This is going to be a bumpy ride. I'll see you guys in an hour and a half. I'm like, are you supposed to say that? I don't know if you're, as a pilot, you should tell, maybe have a little bit more optimism. But I remember we got on, and this thing was like skipping, dropping, going side to side, and I'm sitting there going like, okay, what did the flight attendant say? Because I'm waiting for like that mask to drop down, right? I'm waiting for like something to go haywire. And I was so nervous. Like, this is one of the few times that I've been like sweaty palm the whole flight ride. And all I can remember, right, well, one thing I could remember from what the flight attendant said was, when the mask drops down, put yours on first, right? And if you didn't know that, next time you fly, there you go. You learn a little something new. But that was one of the things I could remember. It's like, hey, when that drops down, put on your mask first. That is your little oxygen mask. That is crucial. That is key. And it's weird, right, because when we hear that, it sounds kind of like a little bit on the surface, it sounds a little bit selfish, right? Where it's like, it sounds like you're saying, man, forget everybody else, just do you. But the thing is, like, there's actually a practical element to that, right? When pilots tell you that, when the flight attendants are telling you, put on your mask, what they're saying is that, man, it's actually really practical, because you can't really help anybody if you're unconscious, right? That if something goes wrong, you're not really helpful to anybody if you run out of oxygen and you can't help anybody. So they said, like, man, make sure, the thought is, make sure that you have your oxygen, that you're ready to go, and then you can go help somebody else if they're struggling with their mask, right? And so that was, there's a real practical element to that. And I bring all this up, right, because, like I said, this morning we're talking about how we pray for ourselves, right? What does that look like? And I think in a lot of ways, when we talk about prayers for ourselves, it's a lot like putting on that oxygen mask on an airplane, because, number one, like we talked about last week, the importance of praying for others and praying for others' spiritual maturity and their spiritual growth. And in a lot of ways, right, we also, at the same point, we also need to be praying for our own spiritual health, Right? We also need to be praying for our own spiritual growth and our own relationship with Jesus. And so as we're talking about praying for ourselves, this is important because our relationship with God matters too. Right? Our relationship with God matters too. And also our ability to love and care for others matters too. Right? That it's really hard for us to really love and care for other people the way Jesus calls us to if we haven't first experienced the love of Jesus. And so this morning as we talk about that, right, I want us to kind of understand the importance of this, right? And sometimes this is, when we talk about praying for ourselves, this is, we're not always the best at this, right? Like sometimes when we pray for ourselves, we can struggle. And maybe sometimes when we pray for ourselves, our prayers can sound, that we may focus so much on just our immediate circumstances, or maybe we pray and we only pray when stuff's going off the rails. And on one hand, right, there's nothing wrong, right? And actually, we're going to learn a little bit later that there's something right and good, right? We should bring all of our needs before Jesus. We should bring, when things are going bad, we should know we can bring those things to him, right? I mean, and Paul even says later in Ephesians about, that don't worry about anything. He said, pray about everything. Bring all your needs and petitions before the Lord. And so we know that that's good. We should do that. But, right, our prayers shouldn't just be that. When we pray for ourselves, it shouldn't just be those things. And so the question is, well, then how should we, right? We're going to look at, how did Paul pray for himself? What are the things that he really prioritized in his prayers? And then how do we incorporate that into our own prayer life in a way that actually enhances our relationship with Jesus and enhances our relationship and ability to love and care for other people? And so if you got your Bibles with you, I want to hop over to, we're going to be in Romans 15. And this morning we're going to look at a couple different passages, so we're going to bounce around a little bit, but I want to start in Romans 15. And we're going to start in verse 31. So if you got your Bibles with you and you want to go there yourself, that's totally fine. And here's this prayer that kind of towards this letter that Paul has to the Romans. He prays this. He says, pray that I will be rescued from those in Judea who refuse to obey God. Pray also that the believers there will be willing to accept the donation I'm taking to Jerusalem. Then, by the will of God, I will be able to come to you with a joyful heart, and we will be an encouragement to each other. All right, so he has this simple prayer, and we look at this, and the question I want to ask is, when we look at this, right, what are some things that we can learn? What did Paul pray for? What were some important elements of some of his prayers for himself? And we mentioned a little bit ago, but one of the things that's really crucial is we see right here, right, that Paul really did pray for his immediate needs. Right, well, one of the things he did pray for his immediate needs. We see at the beginning, he says, pray that I will be rescued from those in Judea. Right, that on one hand, for Paul, he felt a real danger going there because people weren't a huge fan of him at that moment, right, in that place, right? That he wasn't going to win most popular, right? That people weren't really pumped about Paul and him now following Jesus and preaching about Jesus. So he knew there was some physical danger that was going there. And so he's saying, hey, pray for me as I'm going to Judea. Right? But there was also a ministry need that, right, he was, in this letter, he's actually going to help somebody else. He's carrying a donation. So he's saying, hey, pray for my physical safety, but also praying that this will be received well. And so he's talking about these needs. And so I think when we look at this, right, it's a reminder that, Paul's praying for these needs. And for us, we all have different needs in our life, right? We all have different things that we can bring before God that cause us anxiety, that cause us to worry, that really can kind of weigh us down, whether that's stuff with work, whether that's stuff with friends, family, you name it. And so I see with Paul, he says that we see this element of bringing those needs and kind of just this permission that we can say, hey, God, here's some things that are really weighing me down and worrying me, and so let me bring this before you. So we see that in his prayers, right, and we see it here, but we see it in other places, but specifically here, the immediate needs. So another element of some of Paul's prayers was having fruitful ministry, right? He prays that, pray also that the believers there will be willing to accept the donation I'm taking to Jerusalem, right? He's saying, hey, pray, and I love this because he's praying for the results. He says, God, I'm praying that, this donation that I'm bringing will actually bear the fruit that I'm hoping it will. But he's also acknowledging that, God, I also know that this is outside of that I need you to make this happen, right? This isn't me making it happen. This is you making it happen. And I'm pleading with you and that you can make it happen. And so he know that he's praying for fruitful ministry, but he's also aware that it's dependent upon God. I think he's also aware, something I think is clear that throughout like other Paul's letters, that he's also recognizing that, man, this is dependent upon him also experiencing the love of Jesus, right? The fruitfulness of his ministry, the results and success of his ministry is dependent upon the power of God and his own knowing and experiencing the love of Jesus. You know, we pray, we kind of looked at this prayer last week, but there's a prayer that comes out of Ephesians chapter 3. Right? And he's praying this over other people, but I think in this you see that, you know, you see kind of Paul recognizing the urgency and the importance, right, of us knowing the love of Jesus. He says, pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. When I was first kind of getting into youth ministry, I remember one of the things I asked, I had a friend that I was kind of working under, that I was mentoring with, and I asked him, like, man, what is the key? Like, how do you have a successful youth ministry? Is it just like, man, pizza night every week? Is that what you do? You just make sure they stay well fed, which, by the way, it helps, I will say, right? Feeding them is always, never goes wrong with that, right? But like, well, is it that? Is it just making sure that you always have the top-notch events? Like, what, man, how do you do all this stuff? And one of the things that I loved and I still take with me, he says, you know, Robbie, you want to know how to have a successful ministry? He says, number one, remember, it's not about you. Because remember that, hey, it is not about you. It's about trusting the Lord. And he goes, and it's about remembering that the biggest ministry you have is remembering that you're loved by God. He goes, if you remember those two things, man, he goes, things will go well for you. And I think in a lot of ways, that's what Paul's kind of getting at, right? When we see this prayer, when we see him saying, hey, pray that this donation, this act will be received well, I think we're getting a glimpse of Paul's heart of saying, hey, whenever we serve and care for other people, that apart from Jesus, we can do nothing, right? Apart from Jesus, we have to rely on God and really be anchored in his love to really minister and care the way that Jesus and God calls us to do. So we see, right, we see immediate needs. We see this, we see he prays for fruitful ministry. He also prays for encouragement. All right, we see he prays for encouragement. And, you know, he's saying, you know, I pray that I'll be able to come with a joyful heart and will be an encouragement to each other, right? We all need those people, right? You all have those encouraging friends. Maybe they write a note, you know, maybe they send you a text, or they just kind of give you that high five when you need it. And I'll just say, man, I know I've mentioned this before. I don't think I've said it enough, man. I am just so, my wife and I, my family, we are just so grateful being in this church, because this has been, you know, for us, 2020 was kind of, I think for all of us, we can recognize, right, it was a difficult year. It was a difficult season, and we had some other, you know, we came here, we were tired, and we were discouraged in some sense just with everything happening. And the amount of just notes I've gotten from people, just emails just saying, hey, man, I'm just praying for you. I'm thinking of you. Like, there are multiple days where I would just kind of cry and just like, God, you're too good to me, man. Like, this is, and so for us, right, it's that reminder of, you know, I'm reminded through you guys on a regular basis what the importance of encouragement. Like, what that does. And I think Paul recognizes, right, the importance of encouragement. That we need someone to say, hey, man, you got this. I'm here. I'm praying for you. God's there with you. Because he knows that, man, sometimes life and ministry is hard. And we need people to kind of encourage us and to help and be kind of let God speak through us to help keep them going. And so he points to this, right? He points to this idea of encouragement. And so knowing that, right, seeing that play out is such a big deal. So we see those three things, but so I want to jump to now Ephesians 6, right? We're going to look at what are some other ways that we see Paul praying for himself, right? And we see this in Ephesians 6, 19 to 20. He says, pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I'm in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him, as I should. All right, so one of the things that we see there, like, then he prays for boldness. right? One of the things he's praying, hey, amen, pray that I will be bold, that I will have the courage to say the right words, right? I remember, so when I was in middle school, I don't know, some of you guys may not know this, I actually play the cello, not as good now, but when I was like in middle school and high school, I used to play the cello, and I play in this thing called the Tacoma Youth Symphony. And they were, man, just surrounded by really talented people, and rehearsals were brutal. Oh my gosh, it was like 4 hours long. As a middle schooler, I'm like, dude, when's the snack time? Like, do we get a break? Do we have recess? And they're like, nope, not when you do that thing. But I remember we would actually get like small little breaks. We'd run out to go. There's a little coffee shop across the street, and we'd get like donuts and snacks and get all sugared up for the next 2 hours. And I remember I was walking, and there was this girl that was like, you know, she was like, I have to ask, you know, you seem like you're always like so positive, and you're always so happy, man. What makes you so happy? And I wish I could say I'm like, let me tell you why I'm so happy. I wish I could say I said the right words. I didn't. I remember like, I don't know. I guess I'm just a pretty chill guy, I guess. And I panicked. I was like, oh, man, that was a moment, right? That was a moment I could have said, well, you know, actually, you know, it's because, you know, in my relationship with Jesus, it was a kind of a, almost like an alley-oop, right? If you play a basketball, an alley-oop, and then I just totally missed it. But I think what Paul's saying is like, man, that I was so freaked out. I didn't want to say something, and I was scared I was going to say the wrong thing, or scared that she would think I was dumb or weird, and I didn't say anything. And what Paul's saying is like, I think he's recognizing that for him, right? And we can go to the next slide, man. I think that he recognizes that sometimes sharing these words were scary, and especially for Paul, right, where there was some people wanted to do physical harm to Paul. And so he recognizes the courage and that's needing, that sometimes comes with sharing about Jesus, sharing about your faith. And I think that's why he asks, like, give me the right words so I can boldly speak, right, that I can speak boldly for him as I should. But I also think it's important, right, when we talk about boldness, I think it's also really smart for us to talk about wisdom, right? Because we can be bold and not be wise at all, right? We can totally be bold and just like kick the door open and say something and then be like, oops, right? Like, and I've done that. I've done that a couple times. But I think it's important for us to understand the importance of wisdom and saying the right words. And I love that Paul, he's dependent upon the Holy Spirit for the right words. He says, man, pray for me that I can have the right words, that I don't just waltz in, think that I have it all figured out, and then just totally put my foot in my mouth. So we see all these different elements, right? And so the question I want to ask is, we see these different elements that are part of Paul's prayers, see the different ways that he prayed. So what can we learn from Paul? Right? Let's really kind of get down to it. What is it that we can learn from Paul? When we look at these different prayers, the way he prayed for himself, what can we learn? I think one of the first ones is really important. Is our prayers should be shaped more by God's love, values, and purposes instead of our comforts, preferences, and wants. And when we pray, like when we look at Paul, we see these different prayers. We see that for Paul, his prayers were shaped by these desires for him to grow spiritually, to grow in his spiritual maturity, but then also to grow in his ministry to others. That shaped his prayers, and you see that. You know, he did bring his needs. He did bring those things. And Paul encourages that. But he also allowed God's purposes, and he allowed God's values and the way that God loved him and the way that he loved other people to shape the things he prayed for, to shape the way he prayed for himself. And so what we can learn, and I think we got a little slide after that, kind of, yeah, you know, that, so we see that present, right? We see that these things shaped the way even Paul prayed for himself. So knowing, right, that is a really key thing that we can take away. I think the other thing is knowing God's character should give us greater boldness in how we pray, right? That knowing God's character should give us greater boldness in our prayers, right? We should be willing to say, I think Mark was saying this earlier, just kind of come to God with this humble confidence of saying, God, this is what's going on in my life. I'm going to bring this before you. Right? I love that. In Philippians 4, Paul has this to say. Just don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. right? He says, man, pray, you know, bring everything to him. Bring it, you know, bring it all. And when I was in middle school, as you guys know, if you've been around, you know, I can talk, and I can talk a lot, and I can talk long, right? Especially if you give me caffeine, oh buddy, like it can be a long conversation. And I remember, that's not a new thing. Like when I was in fourth grade, my first day at a new school, I got in trouble for talking too much. And so it's just been, man, fourth grade on, I hit the ground running. And when I was in middle school, I remember I took this very literally, like, okay, I'm going to bring literally everything. And I remember when I was in seventh grade, and I thought that, okay, I got to make sure I pray before I go to bed, right? And so I'm on my bed, and I remember reading this. I'm like, okay, God, here's everything. Here's everything that's going on in my world. And I started praying, and I remember, like, dear God, I pray for me to do well in school, and I fell asleep, and I didn't wake up till the next morning, and I woke up and went, huh, amen. And so I don't know if I prayed all through the night. I don't know that, but I remember I'm like, oh, I literally brought everything I had in the moment, and I fell asleep. But I think in all seriousness, right, I think that what God's saying is like, man, I want you. Paul was so moved knowing that God loved him and he cared about him, and that God wasn't – there wasn't anything that he had to be ashamed of or worried about to bring before God. So he says, man, bring all that to me. Bring all that to me. And, you know, because part of this prayer is us connecting with God and building that relationship. So he says, I don't want you to hold anything back. Bring it to me. But I think, so we also have to understand that he says, like, you know, that we can, God, you know, that bring all these things before him. But then he also says sometimes, right, the reminder is sometimes our prayers are not answered in the way we were expecting. That we can bring these things, we can bring those before him, but then we also have to remember that sometimes our prayers aren't always answered in the way we're expecting. Right? Have you guys ever had that? Maybe you prayed for something and it didn't necessarily happen the way you thought, and you're like, huh. And maybe you're a little bit disappointed. Maybe you're really let down or you feel heartbroken. And the thing is, if you've been there, you're not alone in that. Right? Paul had this to say. You know, he shared in 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about this moment, right, where he pleaded with God for what he called a thorn in his flesh. He says, three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. And each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weakness, that the power of Christ can work through me. Right? So you see, man, Paul prayed. He prayed. And yeah, I you know, that as eventually he understood that, like, hey, that God, you know, that this was God's will, and God, it worked out, and, you know, I submitted to what God's definition of what was best. But in the moment, I had to believe that he was disappointed. Right? In the moment, I had to believe, like, man, this is not what I prayed for, God. But what I love about Paul is that he, even though he was disappointed, he still trusted God. So he kind of walked this tension, and you kind of see it in that prayer where he walked this tension of, like, wasn't exactly what I was praying for, but yet I still trust God. I still trust that what God has his best in store for me, that God loves me and cares about me. And I think that's what leads us to number four, is that we can trust God with the answers to our prayers, even if we're disappointed sometimes with the answer. Right? Even if the answer isn't exactly what we were expecting or praying for in the moment, we can still submit to God's definition of what's best for us and still trust him, trust that he loves us and cares about us and he's crazy about us. So I say that, right? Let's kind of think about all of this, right? What are some, you know, how can we be praying for ourselves this week? Let's get practical a little bit. Oop, my bad. How can we be praying for ourselves this week? I think the one thing I hope that, you know, that maybe for you this week, maybe the biggest thing you can be praying for is that you can experience more of the love of Jesus. Right? And I'm not just talking about, like, knowledge, like, no, like, head knowledge. I'm talking about, as my old youth pastor used to say, you know, pray that the knowledge you read about makes that 3-foot drop from your head to your heart. So maybe for you the prayer is experiencing the love of Jesus. You know, experiencing that love of Jesus, you know, the love that is beyond understanding, right? That we can't always wrap our mind around, but changes our life. Maybe for you the prayer is that for yourself this week. Right? Maybe there's some immediate needs that are in your life that are bogging you down and are just, that they're heavy. Right, maybe there's health issues with you or a family member. Maybe there's job issues are going on, or maybe there's just some relational strife that you're dealing with that's just heavy. Maybe there's some of those that you could, that you're just feeling the Holy Spirit nudging you to bring to God this week. Right? Maybe it's fruitful ministry, right? Maybe for you it's saying, you know, as Nancy was talking about with like Operation Night Watch, or maybe it's, you know, wanting to really love and care for other people well. Maybe the prayer is, hey God, man, I just really pray that you can really bless, that all these things I'm trying to do, the way I'm trying to love other people, help me to do it better. But pray that you can make it succeed, that you can make it happen, right? Because like I said before, we know that apart from Jesus, apart from God, we can do nothing. So maybe for you, it's that prayer of asking God to work through you to demonstrate the love of Jesus to somebody, right? Maybe it's spiritual growth, right? Maybe there's a habit or something that you need to grow in, or maybe for you, it's encouragement, right? Maybe you're in a season where you feel like you've just gotten kicked in the shins repeatedly, right? Hopefully not literally, but maybe metaphorically, you feel like, man, it is just, I have gotten bludgeoned. And maybe you just need that person or maybe there's somebody or something to give you that encouragement to let you know that, man, God's with you, God's got this, and to help you keep going. Maybe it's courage and wisdom, right? It's boldness and wisdom to share the right words. Maybe there's a neighbor or friend that you know that maybe God's nudging you to share with them your story, your faith, but maybe you're like, I'm scared what they're going to say if I say something. And so maybe for you, it's the prayer of, God, I know I should share. I know I'm feeling your nudge, but I need you to give me the right words. I need you to give me the right heart to share. So maybe the Holy Spirit's nudged you to pray for all these things. Maybe there's a couple of these things. But that's what I want us to think about this week is, when we look at this list, when we see those different prayers of Paul, how can we be praying for ourselves? Right? How can we be praying for our relationship with Jesus, our spiritual growth, our love and care and service to other people? Because we recognize that, man, just as it's important to pray for others, we also need to be praying for ourselves. Because just as God loves and is crazy about other people, he loves and is crazy about you too. He's crazy about us. And so we matter to God too. And so we need to make sure that we spend time praying for ourselves, our own soul, our own heart. So let me pray for us. God, thank you just so much for the example that you gave us and someone like Paul, Lord, who we get just kind of a look into his own prayer life, the way his own heart for you, his own love for you. And Lord, I believe it's not an accident that those prayers were recorded and put in the Bible. And Lord, I think there's a lot we can learn. And so Lord, pray this week as we maybe just spend some devoted time praying for ourselves. Praying for our own spiritual needs, our own spiritual growth. Praying for our own ministry to other people. Lord, may you move us to love and care and be the hands and feet of Jesus in our life. Lord, help us to spend time praying, recognizing our need for you. And our need for you to do a work in our life and to transform us from the inside out repeatedly, Lord. God, we love you. We're thankful for you. God, we say this all in your name. Amen.